This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, the stunkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
It's all happening, isn't it? I mean, just the eating on the show, really. You know, when Darren comes in bearing gifts. See, Terry Thorpe and Darren, my favourite guests, really.
Absolutely, because they bring food.
But then Sarah's come in and bought biscuits as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, yeah. You know.
It's Dazzle's fault, I was pre-warned.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yes, so we are open to all biscuits here.
Absolutely. What you got?
Well, there's another major logistics firm, Paul Andrews, that's agreed a deal to move into the new Panettone Park.
Oh, yeah, Aylesford, yeah.
It's sounding a bit Italian, isn't it, the Panettone Park? Why is it called the Panettone Park? Where's that come from?
Because it's owned by Panettone.
The actual Italian bready people? Bready?
No, Panettone are printers, aren't they?
Oh, you see, I call Panettone. Don't you call Panettone?
There is like a cake.
It's the Christmas.
Panettone. Yeah.
You make a fabulous trifle with it. Yeah, instead of sponge fingers,
bread and butter pudding.
Exactly.
I don't think that's them. I think Panettone, I think they're a print company.
Okay.
I could Google it.
So they've named it Panettone Park. Nothing to do with the Christmas cakes.
Yeah.
It's on the former Aylesford newsprint site. So it could be printers, as you say. Fowler Welsh, which specialises in transporting temperature controlled goods, has signed a 15-year lease with a 97,891 square feet facility. It's part of the Culina Group. C-U-L-I-N-A. Right. And it's following in the footsteps of DHL, which was the first tenant to put pen to paper on a deal on the 90-acre development in November. And both will move in once work on the site near Junction 4 of the M20 is completed. DHL is expected to move in around July. Don't talk to me about DHL. I got in yesterday and I've got a great big huge parcel box and they've taken my parcel back to the depot. So now, and then I tried to get it this morning, and I've got it says put in your reference number, and I've just got a scanny thing, a queue scanny thing, and I couldn't see where to put that.
Okay, I was wrong. Panettone are actually a real estate company.
Really?
Dealing in industrial real estate and industrial buildings.
Okay, so they're the landlords then.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I'm catching up with this. This is a bit old. It's from Amanda. Sorry, Amanda, I didn't see it earlier. She WhatsApped it to me rather than tweeted it.
Mate. Okay. You can't look at everything, can
no,
you?
No, no, no.
All the time. Or multitask.
She is keeping an eye on my eating habits.
Okay.
Yeah. And she's watching me to make sure.
What was your luncheon today?
I haven't had any.
What was your breakfast today?
I had a salad sandwich.
Where's your protein,
you
boy?
You need protein, yeah.
Yeah, have a boiled egg.
No. Anyway.
He won't listen.
No. Anyway, she said, ask Jules if Gavin's tossing is normally up to standard.
You were
moaning about his tossing earlier, weren't you?
Now, Amanda, what day am I coming round? I've just forgotten, but I know I'm coming round in March. So I'll bring a couple of bottles and we'll go into it in detail.
Yeah, you're coming round for her birthday, aren't you?
Yeah.
It's 24th is her birthday.
And I will bring the tosser with me. Mm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's a pancake tosser. He might even give Amanda a demonstration. Who knows?
Yeah.
Is she picking hooves out now, or is she working at
the
hotel?
No, she's at work. She's at work. No, she's at work in Leeds Castle.
We'd love to know what's going on at Leeds Castle. Let us know. So a village pub has scooped its first Michelin star after just 10 months. And it's the Bridge Arms near Canterbury, Paul Andrews.
Yeah.
Which was recently overhauled by the couple behind Michelin-starred gastro pub. The Fordwich Arms, fabulous pub, restaurant, has gained the restaurant's industry's top accolade. Husband and wife owners, Dan and Tasha Smith, have welcomed the news as an incredible achievement and paid tribute to the hard work of their staff. Grade 2 listed pub in Bridge was formerly a village inn named the White Horse, so it's now the Bridge Arms.
Yeah, it's been empty for a while, hasn't
it? Well done. Well, brave doing what they've done in the times that we've had.
Yeah, absolutely. They had to rename it, though.
Well, like when I went out, why did they?
Because the previous owner's in jail.
Okay. What, the White Horse owners? What did they do?
You don't want to know.
Is that another bottle of wine? And
No. It was
story.
Child pornography.
Oh. No.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So they were jailed, and the pub had been empty for a long, long time. So well done on them taking it on and redoing it and winning a Michelin star.
Exactly. So quickly. Sorry, I was going to take a picture of that, so I must go there. Vets established in the 1960s has been taken over by a rapidly growing local practice. It's Abbotsley Vets in Westmorling, and they've been acquired by Pennard Vets following the retirement of owner Peter Foxall. It's a good name for a vet, isn't it? Foxall,
yeah.
The employee-owned Pennard...
Talking about that, the other day, I saw something on Twitter that everybody was laughing at. It was a photograph of a policeman being interviewed.
By a fox?
No. And I can't remember what it was now, but his name was Rob Banks. That was it. PC Rob Banks. And he was talking about an armed robbery. And again, we're now over to Rob Banks.
If any listeners are interested, if you could send us in names of people that you've met that, where their job goes with their name. I had a gardener. I had a couple of gardeners over my time.
I know.
Julie Chris, Barrow.
Chris Lorne.
I actually had a Julie Barrow.
I
and then I had a Sarah Root. And then I had somebody else, and I can't remember, Pam, somebody other. But Sarah Root and Julie Barrow.
I absolutely went to primary school with a girl called Teresa Green.
You didn't. What were her parents thinking?
I absolutely did.
Sitting up in bed at night saying, yeah.
What should we call her? Yeah, that will teach you.
So any of you, use the Bee Bunker hashtag. We'd love to hear anyone that you know who had a name that went with their job. And we've done this before a couple of years ago in Romney Marsh, haven't we? And there were quite a few funny names. But Teresa Green, I mean, you know. Anyway, so they've now got six... of the Abbotsley, so the previous staff, they're going to be staying on, which is good, and the practice changing its name to Pennard's Vets Westmorling. So my Darcy just got...
That's brilliant, Pennard's Vets. They've got one in Borough Green. And
so
they
you
have,
know of them?
Yeah, I've met the two guys who own it. They're absolutely lovely.
Mm. Well, lovely, but very wealthy, I'd say, because my Darcy got bitten, and she had... puncture wounds, sort of two. You know what?
Darcy got bitten.
Yeah, I would have given her a local anaesthetic and stitched it up myself if I'd have had the time. Not being a vet, I thought I shouldn't. But her bill was £600, and they itemised. So it was a general anaesthetic. I'm not really. I'm sure they could have done it locally. It was just here, and they even charged me for their gloves that they wore. So everything was itemised. I think, come on, gloves, you're doing an operation. That's surely part of your business, isn't it? Mm. I don't know. But £600, and now she's got to go back and have her little stitches out on Friday. I could do that, snip, snip, but that would be another.
I would never not have insurance for my dogs.
Which we will be talking about after with wine, because I didn't insure her because it... long story, but my previous dog, it was just such a rip-off with Farmers Union, National Farmers. They wouldn't pay anything once she was 10.
Aww.
And that's when you need it, you know. So we decided we'd just save the money. Paul's going to get bored now.
That didn't work, did it? No, I want to do something else. I want to stop talking about your silly dog and I want to do something else.
Well, retailers H&M has confirmed its store. He's not a dog person, Sarah.
I've got a dog.
Yeah, but you're not a dog. But you've got Amanda's dog. I've got
Amanda's dog, yeah.
He's not a dog person.
Not the same
person.
Thing. No,
he's not.
When Amanda's out, it hides from me.
Yeah.
And who can blame it? Retailer H&M, it's a really beautiful dog as well, another rescue. Retailer H&M has confirmed its store in Asheville will close in 2 weeks' time. The Swedish fashion retailer joined the County Square Shopping Centre in 2008. It was part of the mall's multi-million pound extension. So after 14 years, signs in the shop window say its last day will be on Sunday, March the 13th. And it reads, "Thank you for shopping with us, Ashford." So it's all going to go online, and it's all very well online, but you know, as a woman, sometimes you want to try something on, and the hassle of taking it all back and wrapping it up. And I recently bought a couple of coats in different sizes from Monsoon, because I didn't know, you know, and they were both horrible, and they both made me look like a Yeti. So I had to lug them all back, queue at the post office. It's not the same. No. I just used to go to Monsoon, try one on.
I tend to use Karen Millen quite a lot, because I've got their gold next day delivery, and you can just drop stuff off at sort of the local shop. You don't have to do any of that queuing business at the post offices, because I just don't do queuing.
What's the local shop, though?
It's just sort of general store at the bottom of the hill.
Yeah, but I would have to queue at my general store, which has got a post office in it, because we haven't got post office in Whitstable anymore. This is either the Tesco Metro, the queue snakes out down the road, because all the pensioners go there for their...
Excuse me, ladies, once you've finished having a chat.
You said that about buying online, about your trousers and that. It's a hassle, isn't it, if you can't try things on?
Yeah, mother half doesn't like doing it either.
It's okay if you've picked somewhere where you get them regularly, so you know the size.
Which is Monsoon for me.
And you haven't changed weight drastically recently.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Or they haven't suddenly changed their sizing.
Yeah, and gone to
nobody can use a measure. Nobody can use a tape measure properly. You asked Amanda that you wanted to know what was happening.
Sure she's got little snippets.
Well, no, she sent me a picture. It's blasting with rain, and it's so foggy you can't see out the window.
I meant events, Amanda. Yeah, I know what the weather is.
Yeah. Anyway, enough of all of that. I want to talk to our next guest.
I do, Tim. FSB.
What can you do with her? It's a pleasure to welcome back onto the show. We haven't seen you for a couple of months, have we, Tim? Mr. Tim Acker, who's the business manager for Kent and Medway FSB.
Thank you for welcoming me back again.
It's always a pleasure to have you on.
He's very at home now. He makes his own tea, you know.
He does, yeah. Well, we're trying to get him to
make it. Doesn't make it for anybody else, though.
He said nonsense. I asked you all. You're all ignoring me.
Very quietly.
Everyone listening here, I'm not listened to.
Don't put up with them, Tim. They're winding each other up.
Go on, have another biscuit.
So, Tim, where are we? What's happening in the world of the FSB? Give us an update on things.
We are doing well and coming out of the pandemic all guns blazing. We have a full packed agenda of events, exciting events in March. So on the 10th of March we're teaming up with Canterbury Christchurch University to hold an exciting event introducing the Hi3 network, which offers a lot of business support for companies in the technological and the innovation sectors. So it's very wide arch. I mean, what business isn't involved in that nowadays? So there's lots of support there. So come along. It's all on the FSB website. You can register for these events. On the 16th of March, we have a webinar with the British Business Bank, with the FSB funding platform, and Locase on access to finance, which is an increasingly important topic. Especially with energy prices going up, fuel prices going up, and the national insurance.
going up.
Yeah, it's that kind of them, wasn't it? Yeah. Thoughtful.
I'm used to saying Dick Turpin wore a mask. What's their excuse? It's like, you know, come on. They keep squeezing. And the only way this is logical is if it's part of a deflationary package to get to grips with inflation, because that is the underlying problem. And the problem with inflation is when you see it at the rate that you see it at, the wheels are in motion for it to increase. So already it's 5, 6, almost 7%. It depends what you go with, the RPI or CPI. Completely different ones, and they're.
It's 12%.
There's a room between
12% in Russia, isn't it, or 20% or something?
That's interest rates. Ball game. But before the crisis that we've got now, we were expecting inflation to get to 7%. It's going to break through that.
Yep.
And that is a serious, serious problem.
Absolutely. It's I know that a lot of people try to argue this, but the whole thing about government finances and putting up tax rates and stuff like that is that quite often you shoot yourself in the foot. Since the pandemic started winding down, actually tax revenues have been going up to the point where the government made a surplus that they didn't expect to. Yeah, my problem is with everything else going up, you know, especially energy, which is, you know, probably the third biggest expenditure of most businesses. You know, you've got wages, rents and business rates, and then energy are your three big costs. With putting up two of them, national insurance and energy, you're really, you know, asking businesses that have been struggling for 2 years because you closed them to really struggle. So in effect, what will happen is you'll make far less revenue than if you didn't put them up at all.
There's the dynamic effects of low taxation have been around since year dot, right? So they look at it two ways. One as punishment taxes, right, which if people vote for it, fine. That's the mandate for it.
Yeah.
Not gonna argue with that. But then if you say, on the other hand, they want to help hospitality and retail. But the VAT on hospitality is going back up.
It's crazy. Again.
Yeah.
It's bananas. The price of a pint. Goodness me. We had a team meeting in London last week, and the price of a pint there is over £6.50.
Yeah.
You can buy a four-pack for less.
Yeah.
So on the one hand, they're saying, well, we want to help with the recovery. But on the other hand, they're putting they themselves, the government, are putting these additional taxes and charges on businesses.
They've gone from eat out to help out to punishing us if we eat out.
It's crackers. And they say, oh, well, we don't want you to, because of all the climate fads, oh, we don't want you to drive anywhere, so we've got to make it even harder for you to go to restaurants and eat out and enjoy.
And then we're going to shut the buses as well. Yeah.
And
by the way, we've got no trains.
And then look at London, the RMT going power crazy, so we're not going to have any London Underground when the whole thing could be automated. It reeks of a government that doesn't have any domestic purpose. They're trying to virtue signal with our money, when actually, if they were to target the tax increases, because, you know, let's be honest, there isn't going to be a balanced budget for a considerable amount of time.
Absolutely.
So then pretending that all of these tax increases are to balance the books is nonsense. So there is the opportunity there to reduce the tax burden, to stimulate economic activity, which, by God, we need.
Absolutely.
Because if this stuff over in the East continues for as long as the Foreign Secretary says it does, for months and years, the energy prices are going to go up and up, which brings them to the question, do they start fracking? Because it will be well and good now, as you know, touch wood, the weather's getting warmer, but... you know, if there's severe energy crises going on into the summer and then into the winter, the price cap could be lifted again.
Yeah.
And again, the problem with price caps is if you implement it, all the prices go to the cap. There was just so many things that if their rhetoric matched their deeds, then we would be in a much better economic situation.
Absolutely.
The problem is that we've got small businesses that are incredibly resilient, that have been through hell. I mean, your business must have been through some tough times in the past 2.5 years.
Brexit was worse for us, but anyway.
It is.
But hospitality and the health, you know, the beauty salons and that just were struggling.
And all of the businesses around
close contact.
Businesses, if you
see
what I mean.
The best thing they can do.
Suppliers, supporting producers.
The best thing they can do now is turn around and say... Because they are thinking about it, or they wouldn't have let this be public knowledge, is cancel the national insurance increase.
Yeah.
Right? All of the stuff they were talking about for its purposes for, well, they've got rid of the restrictions now, so we can take it from them that there isn't going to be a Easter surge in hospitalisations. So what they can do is... reduce the national... Don't even just scrap the increase, cut it.
Well, they've got the perfect political excuse at the moment, haven't they? Because of the war footing that we're now on, they need to undo what they were planning to do because it's not appropriate under the current circumstances.
We'll go a step further and get VAT off fuel.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I don't understand why they have refused point blank to do that when it was one of the major things that they said they wanted to do, and now they haven't done it. And I don't want to get too deep into the politics of it because that's not really what it's all about. But well, it is what it's all about. But you know, on the one hand, it's like we were talking about with local authorities. You've got a bunch of people there sitting talking about net zero, and then a bunch of people going, "Oh, well, you know, we haven't got any fuel, and you know, we've got no oil, and we've got no gas, and we ain't going to live on wind at the moment."
If the wind picks up, the turbines fall over.
Yeah, exactly.
You've just got that whole thing at the moment where you've got, national insurance is going up, but you're getting incentives to take on apprentices, which I think the apprenticeship scheme is fantastic, by the way. However, it's now going to cost you more to take one on, even though you're going to get a rebate if they're still with you within, at the end of 12 months, and then your corporation tax is going up as well. And it's going to cost you more to be in an office. So people want a hybrid way of working, but that's not going to work because if you've got to pay out for an office, you want it full. The whole thing is just not hanging together at the moment.
No, it's not.
There's no narrative there. You say it's a great thing you said about so what. You know, There is no narrative. So we don't even know where they're going.
Yeah.
We don't know what they're...
They don't know where they're going.
Yeah. At the minute, we have the highest tax burden we've ever had.
Yeah, mm. absolutely.
In modern times. So is this the direction of travel?
Yeah.
Because they're not giving us anything to believe the alternative.
Mm. Yeah.
And at the end of the day, if they don't deliver, they say they're going to borrow more money. But then tax man comes knocking. Mm. You better have the money.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and Sarah's absolutely right. The problem is there's no joined up thinking in any of this. You know, it all it's like we were talking about the newspapers earlier. It all conflicts. You know, they come out with one thing that conflicts with something else that they told you about yesterday. And you go, well, hold on a minute. How do those two reconcile each other? They don't. Mm. Yeah, it's just a whole bunch of announcements that have not been thought out. And you're absolutely right, Tim. There's no direction of travel. There's no strategic plan. There's no... let's rebuild the economy after the last 2 years. How do we do that? Yeah, they've just, we'll put the price of that up. We'll, you know, you can pay national insurance and you can. But the problem is everyone knows it doesn't work. Yeah. You know, so the chances going, we'll put national insurance up to try and recover some of the money we lost during the pandemic. But you won't. All it will mean is people will employ less people.
Yeah, exactly. And businesses will fold.
They'll have fewer tax revenues coming in.
Yeah. Exactly.
And then they'll have to shell out more in universal credit because those people won't be employed.
Yeah. Exactly.
Exactly.
And you're only talking about a recruitment crisis. Oh, this... Yeah. You know, are we seeing this wrong? Because how can the people in the square mile of...
Because they don't run small businesses.
Look at it completely different from what we do.
Yeah. It's, you know, quite often I sit and I think about this and I see politicians of all kinds of parties coming out with stuff and you think, have you never, ever met anyone that lives in the real world? You know, do you live in such a bubble? But I think what it is that our politicians tend to be held by the short and curlies by the media. And the media tend to have a go at them about anything, yeah, because it's a good way of having a go at them. And they react to the media. Mm. Nobody's actually thinking about the ramifications of what's being said on, you know, people. Another silly example the other day, some journalist on Twitter came out and said 70% of all businesses are heavily investigating AI. And I just went, that's absolute nonsense.
Most of them don't even know what it is. They can't spell it.
I said, absolutely. I said, you do realise that 99.7% of businesses employ less than 50 people. If you think my hairdresser's looking at AI or my plumber's looking at AI, you are deluded. And he blocked me. And you go, it's crazy.
The problem is there is such a demand for instant reaction.
Yeah.
And the most dangerous thing in the world is a bored politician, because they will find a problem to react to. They'll react to it, and then they'll need to react to the problems they've just created.
Exactly.
If they were to make, well, we all understand that politicians have to make unpopular decisions, but if they were to put it within a context that we know that, okay, if we have to take some pain. So, for instance, right, so we asked at the Kent Business briefing in January, we asked all the attendees, what worries them most?
Yeah.
Price increases, inflation, or interest rate increases?
Yeah.
90% said price increases.
Yeah.
So if the government was to turn around and say, or the Bank of England, rather, but let's not forget, they may be independent, but they do talk to each other.
Yeah,
the Bank of England's job is to keep inflation under 2%.
Yeah.
And if you're in the private sector, your targets were way out. You'd have a serious discussion with management.
Yeah.
If they were to put interest rates up a bit, people would understand why.
Yeah.
And they'd understand it would be some short-term pain, but there was the overall picture to bring inflation under control. There is nothing from the government. They've not said whether they accept the inflation. They've not accepted what they, but they have said, oh, well, we don't really like it. But they've not given a plan or a strategy for it.
Yeah.
And when this runs away, if it gets to 10%, we're serious territory, serious risk of it going up to 15.
Yeah.
And then interest rates will have to climb because the longer they put this off, the more pain we have to take. And that comes in two shapes. It's either high interest rates or it's reductions in public spending or both, and the government have given no indication that they're going to do either. So how can your business plan?
We've already got an explosion of food banks, and we're already seeing people that can't afford are choosing between feeding family and having heating on, including the elderly,
God forbid,
pensioners.
The price cap goes up again this year as well.
And the additional bonkersness of this is that you've got, I don't know how many million businesses that suffered through the last 2 years that took bounce back loans and everything. And they're going to be sitting there going, you've just put up all my prices and you want me to pay back my loan and you want me to pay more, the living wage has gone up, national insurance has gone up. Do you know what? I think I'll just give up.
Yeah.
You know, and you're going to have a lot of businesses to go, and I'm not doing this. And then the government aren't going to get their money back. So they've lost another few billion in unpaid loans.
Well, it goes back to what poor Terry Thorpe's going through. Mm. With even the slightest of things. So his business is forced to comply with the FCA.
Yeah.
You know, the FCA have a monopoly.
Yeah.
Right. And they come along for no reason.
Yeah.
No reason at all.
Yeah.
And say, your fees are going up a ridiculous amount.
Yeah.
And so our people at the top are meeting and having discussions to try and do that.
Yeah.
And to get them to rethink their decision. But it's just, you fight one campaign,
and
then they throw three more at you. But this is all, and we're talking of narratives, this all comes back to the fact that inflation is running rampant.
Yep.
And they're either trying to inflate away their debt, which is the economics of Zimbabwe and every other economy that's gone, because you debase the currency, you destroy the country. Or they're just not really serious about it, and this is JCR politics, and we all suffer at the end of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but on the upside, you know, our membership are resilient, our membership is growing. Mm. The FSB has managed to lobbied for an SME clause in the new trade agreement with New Zealand, which is a massive win.
Yep.
We see the new investment going into Ashford. Mm. So we're fairly resilient in Kent and Medway and across the FSB as a whole.
Yeah.
But that's now.
What are you hearing from your members when you've now started networking a bit more and meeting up with them? What is their main, apart from finding staff, which we know is hellish at the moment, what is their main concern?
The costs, of cost of living.
Of actually running.
Of energy, but people are glad to get back.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I want to do is lots more fun activities.
Mm.
So for instance, MacNaid's wonderful shop in Faversham, we have an event there. Please come along, you go on the FSB website and register for it completely free, where we'll hear about their business journey and we get to try some of their food and meet other FSB members and have let off a bit of steam, a bit of fun. You know, there's been that absence in the past.
Absolutely.
But what we look at is you can take polls and opinions and surveys in isolation, but you look at the trends. And the trends we've got from the past three small business surveys we've done of our members is that the confidence is disappearing.
Yeah.
It was high after the first Freedom Day, when we finally got it last year. But it was just withering away. You know, how many businesses were banking on a Christmas bounce? And how many were at the ladder kicked away from them when the government panicked over the Omicron stuff and they lost umpteen
when South Africa was saying it was mild and they wouldn't listen?
And it's just and lots of businesses were banking on that to get them through to the national insurance increase.
And the food waste, where chefs were ordering venison in and all that, and then they had to close.
Lots of families did that too, though, didn't they?
Of course.
I'm hearing about people this year that were
still eating
turkey.
It's absolutely heartbreaking, and it goes back to what we were saying earlier about park and rides and town centres. They're on the upside of people working from home is that they'll go and buy their sandwich from the local calf and so on. Not if it's not there. And it's saving on the commuting time. They can then go out for a bite to eat
locally. Exactly.
But
They've got to have somewhere to go.
Otherwise, it's just going to be, we're going to turn into America, where it's all Taco Bells and Denny's and
McDonald's. Well,
they're
the ones that can afford the rates, the big chains.
Yeah.
And that's such a shame.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, the resilience and the fight is there in small businesses. But to any of the decision makers that are listening in, just stop putting barriers in the way. Mm-hmm. We know that the books don't balance, and that's not a problem. but you need to grow the economy out of this.
When you think of the money they were throwing away during the pandemic, it was just going everywhere, wasn't it?
Well, it sort of the furlough and all that needed to happen because they were expecting a 1930s style dip,
yeah.
A depression. Hindsight's wonderful, and we could all look back and arguably say that the furlough payments have caused a part of the inflation we're seeing now, because yeah. people were still being paid, getting second jobs and being fairly dynamic about that. And I don't blame them a minute for that,
exactly.
because the government gave the money away, and the government believed it had to give the money away because of the unemployment.
Mm-hmm.
9 governments out of 10 have done that, and in a crisis like that, you'd have expected them to do it. The problem is now is that the bills have got to be paid.
Yeah.
And the bills have got to be paid by people and businesses. Now, if you put barriers in the way of employers taking on new staff as the national insurance, you'll have fewer people paying taxes.
Mm.
If you put barriers in the way of people going out and enjoying hospitality and retail, when you put the VAT up,
Well, you were saying about your pint of beer. How much was it? £9?
£6.50.
£6.50. Crazy. So,
even though London prices, but
yeah.
come on, you know, it's
yeah, yeah.
If you go to a restaurant, the restaurant's markup 9 times out of 10 will be the drink, the bottle of wine or
yeah.
the second bottle
or a cocktail. I mean,
and the pre-dinner cocktail,
yeah.
the whiskey or the port afterwards, much more than the food.
Mm.
But people won't go.
Mm.
People won't go. It's heartbreaking.
It is. And it just gets harder and harder and harder to run small businesses when politicians just don't seem to understand. No, they don't understand. They don't take any notice of the reality. You know, Siri, you made a brief reference to it earlier, and I wanted to pick up on it. You were saying that a lot of this is about supply chains as well. You know, they talk about hospitality, but there's a whole heap of things behind hospitality to make it work, and they never take any notice of that. I own a web development agency, and we specialise totally in events. We build trade show websites. Well, no, you know, we got nothing, yeah, because we're not in the event industry. We're in the technical industry, but we had no customers left.
And there was no support for that sort of thing.
And there was no support for that kind of thing. It was just, you know, get on with it then.
Yeah. Just before they put us into lockdown, I won a new client who wanted his LinkedIn profile managed, and he was working for a company that, his company did SEO, and 60% of his clients were retail and travel. So
right.
He then rang me and said, do you mind if we put this on hold for a bit?
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, the economy's interlinked. You know, it's dominoes. One thing leads to another. And if you destabilise one bit of it, the whole lot collapses. And they just don't seem to understand that. They don't, you know, and they make decisions that says, right, we're going to put up national insurance. You go, hold on a minute. Where am I going to get the money to pay that? Yeah, I haven't done any business for 2 years. you know, I've got no income. You know, do you want? You really want me to sack everyone? Do you? Is that what you'd like? It's just nonsense stuff. Absolutely crazy. Well, let's hope they see a bit of sense. They, according to Jules, she's just in a news report saying that
the vaccine mandates have been
scrapped,
which I do believe is because of a petition signed by the public.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I think.
Okay.
A bit late for some people who had jabs
because they were needing
to go into the office.
Well, it's not only that. People that left, I saw someone that worked for an NHS trust that had quit after 15 years of working there, claimed to be a doctor, said they quit because they refused to get the vaccine, and then their NHS trust overturned it and decided they weren't going to do it, but they wouldn't give him his job back.
and we're so short of staff. I mean, your average wait now at A&E, I know because I've been sent 4 times in the last 11 months, is 7 to 8 hours.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now when I go to Ashford, I take my picnic with me and
yeah,
a book,
yeah.
you know. So we are so short of staff.
Yeah.
And, of course, let's mention the Nightingale Hospitals, which they put up, didn't they, outside Ashford?
Down again.
Yeah.
Well, they turned the XL into a Nightingale
yeah.
hospital,
but,
didn't they?
Yeah,
and,
but
and then had 3 patients.
No patients. It never happened. And that got taken down. But now they've just recently built one at Ashford A&E, now, the last couple of months.
Mm.
And it sat there like some circus tent, was never used after all of that. Millions. I think it was 3 million it cost them.
Yeah, but I mean, they do a fantastic job. You know, I mean, the NHS staff are
fantastic, but the management is atrocious and the waste is atrocious that I see anyway. Mm. It's another programme.
Tim, just finally, I've got a lot of events to talk about for the FSB in a moment, and we'll go over those, because the FSB is doing an awful lot in terms of workshops, and not just networking events, but information workshops on...
The access to finance one is a must, because you've got... You know, part of the benefits of being an FSB member is the access to all the benefits that we provide. And one of them is the funding platform, which gives guidance on accessing funding that many small businesses actually need.
Yeah.
So we're bringing together the British Business Bank and Locase from Kent County Council to give people the information there.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I encourage people. It might be a bit wordy and a bit more complex than the average email bulletin, but all in our bite-sized emails. Go through them all, because there is a lot of information in there to help businesses.
And just very quickly, the whole range of benefits that are on offer to FSB members is very comprehensive, isn't it? You know, from cyber security, HR security, help with COVID and health and safety at work.
And the FSB care as well. So yeah, I'm hosting a national webinar on FSB care,
right,
where you'll hear from a representative from FSB care, from Podplan, which is one of the providers of FSB care, and Dave Sharp, who MCs a lot of our national events, who's actually used FSB care and Podplan for the care of his parents.
Right.
So there's a lot, you know, it's very difficult being a small business, you know, the pressures of home life, of business and everything else. Mm. But just know that as an FSB member, there are lots of people in your corner, lots of people. And so you've got the details there. If in doubt on anything business related, get in touch with us.
I always found the contracts were brilliant. Just, you know, the templates that you've got on there. Amazing.
Really comprehensive.
Hundreds of legal forms.
Yeah.
Tim, thank you so much for that. Thank you for updating us. We're going to do the FSB news now as well. So we're going to follow up on some of the things you've just mentioned.
The Federation of Small Businesses News Roundup. Offering advice and guidance for small businesses and the self-employed.
What I'm going to do now is I'm going to tell you about lots of events that are coming up, all of them with the FSB. At the end of it, I'm going to give you a link where you can find out about all of them and you can book your place and find out more details. They're not in any particular date order, so I'm going to jump around a little bit. But it's networking. Let's talk technical on Wednesday, the 16th of March, from 10 a.m. to 11:15. This is exploring how businesses can prepare for the next generation of energy sources. As Tim's mentioned a few times, securing finance, and this is securing finance to set up or scale up. On Wednesday, the 23rd of March at 1 p.m. This is a panel discussion webinar. On Thursday, the 31st of March, is Ethnic Minority Led Business Networking, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. As Tim also mentioned, there's the FSB Kent Member Showcase at McNaid at Faversham. That's Friday, the 18th of March, 12:30 to 2 p.m. And that's an in-person discussion and networking for FSB members. On Thursday, the 10th of March, Peter Searle is hosting Property and Construction Event, Health and Safety Responsibilities for Developers and Contractors. On Wednesday, the 30th of March, now this is a title, What to Do If Running Your Business Feels Hard. It certainly does. And that's taking place on Wednesday, the 30th of March at 11 a.m. And that's with FSB and inspirational coach Jim Hughes. Tim also mentioned this, the HI3 Network, Are You Innovation Ready? Networking and discussion in conjunction with Canterbury Christchurch University and the HI3 Network Canterbury Hub on Thursday, the 10th of March, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All of these, by the way, are virtual events unless otherwise stated. Southeast England Virtual Networking, Wednesday the 2nd of March, that's tomorrow, manana, 11:45 p.m. And then on Thursday the 10th of March is Southeast England Women in Enterprise Virtual Networking at 11 a.m. Wednesday the 16th of March is Access to Finance in the Southeast at 10 a.m. Thursday the 10th of March at 11 a.m. is the Busy Persons Toolkit.
So you'll need it after all those
events. Yeah. Thursday the 8th of March at 10:30 a.m. International Women's Day 2022, Breaking the Bias. And all of those events can be found by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB, where there's a full listing of everything with links to the FSB website to book your place, book your ticket, or find out more details. So do check them out. And also want to let you know that the FSB has launched the Making Tax Digital app. They've partnered with Rhino Software, whose HMRC-recognised app is designed to help you follow new Making Tax Digital rules, record your expenses, create invoices, and submit your VAT return directly to HMRC. And you can do all of that by the FSB Making Tax Digital app. If you want to find out about it, if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/MTD-app.
And DG East have tweeted in, they say, a very interesting discussion. Vanilla Web Dual Circuit with Tim Aker from the FSB Kent. You can find them on the Twitter at FSB Kent. Lots of common sense, unfortunately not displayed by the ruling political class. And they say, let's form a common sense party.
No.
That sounds like a lot of work.
No, it's been tried.
No, you'll never catch on.
Yeah.
And to let you know about DG East, you can follow them at DG East number one, and they are on dgeast.co.uk. They are an independent contract hire and leasing provider of cars and also commercial vehicles to both private and business customers. New and used vehicles also supplied to order, and we've seen some cracking cars they've delivered, haven't we, Paul Andrews?
We certainly have, and I've just ordered two for me.
Have you?
Yeah,
one for each leg.
Something like that.
Well, as I said, as I came in, I needed an umbrella this morning because my soft top.
Yeah,
it's only 3 years old, my car.
Yeah,
leaking. Book now for Marsh Network online this Wednesday. 3ws.marshnetwork.co.uk, and the next meeting is 10:30 a.m. And that's manana, 2nd of March. Did you just say that?
I heard
you say manana. Was it the same thing?
I did say manana. No, it's a different thing.
Okay,
but tomorrow always comes.
Manana always comes too. The speaker will be Alison Gordon from the Computer People. She sounds good, and she's going to tell us all about her journey and answer any IT questions, which could be IT, I guess, you may have. There was no dot there, see? So it's just IT.
It
could be an IT person, an IT girl.
Yeah.
You know, the
could be a clown.
Bound to be, yeah.
Anyone with a double barrel name, it could be. See what I did?
No,
there?
You don't. No, we didn't.
Yeah.
Come on, get on with it.
So you can join businesses and charities from across Kent, Sussex and beyond for the style of relaxed professional networking. If you'd like your free ticket, please email terry@botfield.net, and they look forward to meeting you. And there is terry@botfield.net, and all links are on kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
He's on Twitter as well. His Twitter handle's tdbotty.
Yeah, you couldn't resist saying that.
Oh, no,
you?
I like it.
He's on LinkedIn too.
Yeah.
He's everywhere.
Yeah.
Terry.
Yes. Hi, Paul. Just wanted to pop into your inbox and make sure you know about the free online masterclass series that I have coming up in the next few weeks. It's a social media success, and it takes place from the 21st of March, and I'd love you to join me. Why not set aside some time and learn how to accelerate your digital and social media marketing in your business and create more leads by mastering key strategies? This is with Zoe Cairns of ZC Social Media, and you can book your place by going to zcsocialmedia.com/social media success masterclass. Jules.
And awards, including, this is the Gravesham Business Awards.
Oh yeah.
They've been launched, and the awards including Business of the Year, Employer of the Year, Environment Award of the Year, and Bar of the Year. Closing date is the 15th of April, so you've got a little bit of time to go there, and it's gravesham.co.uk/home/entry-form, and that sounds like a great idea.
I've got an email here from Maidstone Borough Council, and it says anyone interested in opportunities to do business with Maidstone Borough Council is being encouraged to register for alerts on the Kent Business Portal. The council would like any local business, big or small, to bid for their contracts. You can do that by registering on the e-tendering platform. Businesses can take part in up-and-coming and future tenders. Chair of the Economic Regeneration and Leisure Committee at Maidstone Council said it's completely free to register and there is no obligation to take part in the tenders. You can pick the opportunities that best suit you. So you just register and apply for whatever one you want. It's a great way for any business to look for potential work, and the portal includes opportunities across the whole of Kent, so it isn't just Maidstone. To visit, go to kentbusinessportal.org.uk and select supplier registration option from the grey drop-down box. And they say, for anyone needing more information on how to get involved in the process, the procurement team are always available to discuss this with you. You can drop them an email on procurement@maidstone.gov.uk or call them on 01892 554425. That's 01892 554425.
And a village pub. I've done that one. How did that wheedle in again?
Yeah.
Silicon Valley firm has made a multi-million pound investment in the county in a bid to develop zero emission air transport. It's creating a hydrogen fuel system. It hopes to become a global leader in a technology which could transform the impact of air travel on the environment. So it's called High Point, that's spelled H-Y Point, which has its headquarters in California. And it's pumping $11 million into its Kent team at the Sandwich Discovery Park. We love them there. Mm. And with the creation of a new research development and production centre at the site in Sandwich. It's in addition, it expects to create dozens of new jobs. Low-carbon hydrogen is being touted as an efficient replacement for traditional fossil fuels. We'll have to put that one on to Bob Beatty, one of our listeners. He's good on all that, mm-hmm. isn't he?
Yeah, it's mostly for aviation stuff, isn't it?
Well, maybe they'll open Manston again. You never know.
Oh, you do live in hope.
I used to love Manston.
No, it didn't go anywhere.
I went everywhere with it.
Where? Where'd you go?
Ireland and Holland.
Did you want to go there?
Yeah. I think it was a fiver I went for. And just no queues. I go to Heathrow or Gatwick. It takes me 4 hours to get there. I nearly missed a plane to India once because I allowed 4 hours to get to Heathrow. It wasn't enough.
M25.
Yeah. And now it's a bit smart motorway as well.
When Air France KLM was owning it and they were flying to Schiphol, it was okay.
Schiphol.
But they couldn't make it work. But they had my eldest son was at university in Durham, which was a long old drive. And they suddenly announced flights to Newcastle from Manston. And I thought, yes, brilliant. So I went to book a flight and I could book a ticket there, but there was no flight back. Well, how's that going to work then?
And didn't it go via Schiphol every time?
And you had to go to Schiphol first.
Anyway, I loved it. And I'm very sad. And I think Southend, my son has a business in Ibiza. So it's IFF Kitchen, if you're listening. They deliver all through the UK. Lovely, healthy food. Quick plug, based in Manston. But I don't think anymore they fly from Southend, Ibiza. I think they've stopped that because of the pandemic.
So
it's just cut down a lot of stuff. And if everybody's going to Heathrow and Gatwick, it just makes for a...
It was always bonkers.
Yeah.
We ought to have more regional airports.
Like
bigger regional airports.
Yeah.
Not Manston, though.
I loved it. Mm. I won't hear a word said against it, Paul Andrews.
The South East Construction Awards 2022. Platinum sponsors are All Health Matters, and one of the best things you can do for your business. The businesses that will always stand out are those that have award-winning next to their name because it raises them above their competitors. Winning a business award can open doors to getting contracts, finding new supply channels, and breaking into new markets. Awards celebrate hard work and success and are good PR opportunities, and it's fantastic to be recognised. The South East Construction Awards are free to enter, and you can enter as many categories as you wish. And some of the categories are Women in Construction, Best Construction Project, Best Architectural Design, Construction Contractor of the Year, the Best Supplier, and the Best Apprentice. Entering the awards is free, quick and simple, and is done by going to www.constructionexpoawards.co.uk. That's www.constructionexpoawards.co.uk. And the deadline to apply is Friday the 2nd of September, but don't leave it too long. Jules.
I'm afraid I've read everything, Paul Andrews.
Have you?
See, this is me diligent too. You know, you think I just sit here swanning around, but, you know, I'm very diligent. I mean, Sarah's noticed, haven't you, Sarah?
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah, I read them all.
Don't encourage her, Sarah.
But the Twitter is busy. I'm talking about Spain at the moment, though. So DG East, we've said to him, Casey Canine, we've said her. Anybody else?
I've got loads to read. You don't have to go back over and redo them all.
No, you read some and I'll eat my custard tart.
I would if I were
which
you.
Is not just any custard tart. I think it's Daryl. It's
a Portuguese custard tart.
It's a Laura's Larder custard tart.
Portuguese.
But you're not eating that because you're off dairy.
Well, no, I won't tell Mohammed. He's not listening.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got 3 weeks till I see him. Get it out of my system. He's got a machine and he goes, you've been eating dairy. As long as I have a week and Darren doesn't come in the week before, I'm fine.
The eagerly anticipated Kenton Medway Business Summit has secured another key sponsor for the event in April. For the second year running, it has agreed a partnership with the British Business Bank. This one-day networking event is organised by the Kent Business School at the University of Kent, bringing together some 300 businesses, key policymakers and leading academics. The bank will join headline sponsors Creston Reeves and Thompson Snell and Passmore in supporting the summit, which takes place at the University of Kent's campus at the Business School on Wednesday, April the 27th. And I think this will be the fifth year running of the summit.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
And I've been to the other four and they were brilliant. Really, really good events.
It's not just a networking thing as well. It's you've got all of the movers and shakers in one area, one place, and particularly with the Bank of England being there.
Yeah.
If you think monetary policy doesn't affect you, oh boy, it does, and it's going to become very important over the next 18 months.
Yeah. As Tim said, you know, you've got members of the government, both national and local, you've got the Bank of England, you've got business leaders, and you've got leading academics all talking about strategy and where we go from a business point of view. The last four have been brilliant. I had the pleasure of chairing a couple of the round tables there as well in the past.
What was the date of that again, Paul?
27th of April.
So you got time to put it in your diary.
Yeah, they're normally in January, but they couldn't commit to holding it in January this year because we were still unsure whether we were going to open or not. So they moved it to after Easter, which is great. So I'll be there and I hope to see you there. But we've reached the end of another show.
How quickly it goes.
It goes really quickly when you're having fun or when you're listening to You Rabbit On.
Yeah, and you. Yeah. And a big thanks to our sponsors.
Yeah, Tenterton District Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah.
And to our guests.
The lovely.
Yeah, the lovely. Sarah Marsh Collins. Yeah. Go on, get it. Go on, you get
Tim
it.
Tim Aker.
And Tim Aker. Sarah Marsh Collins, a Babel monkey.
Yeah.
Tim Aker of the Federation of Small Business, Kent and Medway. The little man in the corner, Darren Wheel, from Intune PR.
And it's my Babel monkey, don't forget, on the Twitter.
The Twitter handle is my
Babel. MY on the front.
Yeah, my Babel monkey.
If you're following them.
Yeah, absolutely. And my co-host, the stockingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
And you.
And me. We will be back with another show next week, quite possibly.
Yeah, if we survive the nuclear blast and things.
Well, we tried to avoid talking about that.
I know.
But, sorry?
Nearly got there.
Yeah, I'm going out to buy lots of tins.
We almost made it without mentioning it, but we haven't.
Yeah, watch the pasta fly off the shelves again.
Yeah.
And where's the loo rolls?
We send our thoughts to everybody currently struggling.
Yeah, and all the young kids that are hearing all this news as well everywhere around the world. It's just horrible to be young. And also elderly who've lived through World War II.
So that's everyone then, basically.
Yeah, okay. and the middle-aged as well.
Yeah, cool. Anyway, look, we'll be back with another show next week. Thanks for listening to the Business Bunker Show. Stay safe, everybody, and we'll see you all soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.